being July 20th. It's our outside worship service today. Yes. Next week, Sunday, we'll be worshiping indoors with Chaplain Darren Beachy. Awesome. Sharing the sermon about all-star wrestling. Yes. We are collecting money and school supplies for back-to-school supplies until August 3rd. So we've got a couple weeks left. Monetary donations can be placed in the offering plate or through the church website. As a reminder, we'll be serving a loaves and fishes meal on Monday, July 28th. If you're able to help serve or bring desserts, please sign up online or on the Welcome Center or by calling the church office itself. Pastor Craig will be returning tomorrow, Monday, July 28th, from his study leave and vacation. This morning, we welcome Chaplain Evan Stark, originally from Dubuque, Iowa. Evan is a chaplain with SSM Hospice. He lives in Fonic with his wife, Jess, his two-year-old daughter, Sylvia, and his dog, Donut. I like that name. It's cute. Thank you for being with us and delivering the message this morning. Let's give him a good welcome.
Good morning. Please stand as you're able and join me in the responsive call to worship. We gather this day from a week filled with needs and demands. We come to find rest and renewal of our spirits. Open your hearts in love to hear the voice of God. We want to quietly rest in God's presence, free from the clamor of the world. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Let us now pray. From the demands and pressures of this past week, we come, O Lord, seeking rest and renewal. Hear the cries of our hearts, our prayers, our needs. Heal and restore us, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now the call to confession. We come before God not as despised sinners, but as beloved children. With the confidence of children of God, let us humbly confess our sin. Patient Lord, we schedule our lives down to the very second. We crowd in as much activity as we can and then wonder why we are so stressed out and tired. We are afraid to miss out on anything, and when it comes time to be with others, we spend our time worrying about details rather than longing for the visit. Forgive us when we get so caught up in the details and miss the opportunity to sit at your feet, learning, listening, growing in our faith. Help us to place ourselves in your care. Slow us down just a bit so that we can see the wonders you have placed before us and truly join and share the blessings you have given us. Let us now take a few moments to offer our silent confessions. Hear now the assurance of God's grace. If we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Therefore, consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Hear these news of instructions from Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Be tolerant with each other, and if anyone has a complaint against anyone, forgive each other. As the Lord forgave you, so also forgive each other. The peace of Christ be with you. Please be seated. Let us read responsively Psalm 15. Who can live in your tent, Lord? Who can dwell on your holy mountain? The person who lives free of blame, does what is right, and speaks the truth sincerely. Who does no harm with their talk, does no harm to a friend, doesn't insult a neighbor. Someone who despises those who act wickedly, but who honors those who honor the Lord. Someone who keeps their promise, even when it hurts. Someone who doesn't lend money with interest. Who won't accept a bribe against any innocent person. Whoever does these things will never stumble.
While Jesus and his disciples were traveling, Jesus entered a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him as a guest. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his message. By contrast, Martha was preoccupied with getting everything ready for the meal. So Martha came to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to prepare the table all by myself? Tell her to help me." And the Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. Only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the better part. It won't be taken away from her." Word of the Lord.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward. I'll let you. So, have any of you ever learned how to juggle? Anybody here ever learned how to juggle? Try. Yeah, it's kind of It's kind of hard to do. I can't do it at all, so we won't be. But juggling would be if you threw all these things up in the air and you could catch one and throw one and catch another one and have them go all at the same time. And it'd be kind of fun for a little while. But what if everything you did, you tried to juggle things as you were doing it? So I would do answer the phone, and then I would do this. And then what do you think would happen if I tried to even do children's time while I was juggling? Probably all of them would end up on the floor, right? Yeah. Sometimes when grown-ups, especially grown-ups, get older, they try to do all the things. All the things all at the same time. And we think we can do it. Sometimes we can do it for a while. And then sometimes all the stuff falls down. Or maybe one of the really important things just gets missed. Well, that's the story that we just heard today was about Jesus was with Mary and Martha. And he was there to visit with them. And Mary, she didn't juggle anything. She was just there listening. But Martha, she wanted to be a good host. She wanted to make sure everything was ready. She wanted to make sure the table looked great. She wanted to make sure the food was good. She was doing all the things, and she was doing it pretty well. Things weren't dropping, but she was getting kind of annoyed with her sister. Her sister Mary, while Martha was juggling all these things and doing all this great stuff, Mary was sitting and listening. And so Martha got kind of annoyed, and she said, "Jesus, do you see that I am doing all these things to make your visit here so wonderful? And look at my sister. Just tell her to help me." And what did Jesus say to Martha? He said, "Mary's chosen the really important thing." What was her really important thing that she was doing? She was listening. You're right. She was listening. She was listening to God. Sometimes, anybody hear of a cell phone? Sometimes if you're talking with your family, maybe mom or dad or maybe a friend, and you're sitting on your phone or you're playing a video game and they're talking to you, but you're still doing that thing. Is that listening? No, it's not, is it? When we listen to someone, we honor them. We tell them, we show them that they're very important. So Martha was trying to do all the things. And remember when I said, when you try to do all the things, it works for a little while, and then all the things kind of fall apart. And maybe you forget the one important thing. The one important thing in this is, these are different scriptures on here and talks about prayer. So if I were to juggle all of these things right now, this thing might fall apart. This thing might not get done. And we want to make sure that we are honoring God, and we're honoring our families, and we're honoring our people we love by listening to them. So when you are going to talk with your family or going to talk with your friends, really listen. Take some time to listen, just like we want to really listen to God and honor God. Let's take a little time and let's listen right now. Loving and gracious God, we thank you so much that you give us so many opportunities to learn more about you and more about your love. We know that sometimes we think there's so many things that we need to get done in so little time, and we get so busy doing all those things that we forget the most important thing, and that is to spend time with you, to listen, to really listen. We do that through prayer. We do that through your word. We do that through worship. And we just ask that you would help us to find those opportunities and really listen to you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen.
We've all heard this story before. It's a classic Sunday school lesson. Often emphasizing the dichotomy of serving and being served, of doing and being, of the physical, the material, and the spiritual. First, I want to look at where this passage sits in Scripture. Before this, we have the story of the Good Samaritan. And after this, it's the story where Jesus teaches us the Lord's Prayer. Sure seems like that even where this Scripture is lying, it's building this dichotomy, building this split between the physical and the spiritual. From a story about helping those in need, about serving those who need it, to a story about how to pray. And mashed in the middle is this one. So let's take a look. I want to take it verse by verse and examine this passage to see what it's really trying to teach us. The first verse, verse 38. While Jesus and his disciples were traveling, Jesus entered a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him as a guest. They entered a village. Just any village. That's not the important part. I always find it interesting what Scripture doesn't tell us, and it doesn't tell us where they went. The important part, what they did tell us, is who they went to stay with. Martha. And with Martha, she welcomes them into her home. This isn't like they were dropping in. It feels like she was ready for them. She was welcoming them in, prepared to take care of Jesus and his disciples. The other interesting thing is the name that is used, Martha. Martha means lady of the house, sort of how we might say Mrs. or ma'am, denoting someone who is in charge of how things are going. Verse 39, we meet Mary, her sister. Again, the use of the name Mary is very important, because it can be inferred from this context that this is someone most likely younger. Maybe a maiden or we might say miss. Oh, thank you.
Take a moment.
We might say miss. Someone who might be considered socially subordinate to the character of Martha. And we find out what she did. She did what? Well, she disregards her customary duty of serving the guests. Instead, she sits by Jesus and listens. That listens is in the passive, in the original Greek, denoting that she is a receptive mind, a devoted spirit, ready to take in what Jesus has to offer. It sets up this contrast between the older sister, the responsible sister, and this younger sister who seems to go against the norm. There's some interesting word choices too in verse 40. By contrast, Martha was occupied for getting everything ready in the meal. So Martha came to him. And said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to prepare a table all by myself? Tell her to help me. In the Greek, the word used for what Martha was doing is the word that they use for attendance, as in attending to someone, to serve, to tend to their needs. I found it interesting in many of the English translations I read, it simply says many tasks. Martha was preoccupied with many tasks. It begs a question about what kind of tasks she was performing, what kinds of tasks she was busy with. It's not as specific or poignant. It's not trying to tell us what she was doing, simply that she was busy. even the translations of much serving that I've read, call into question what kind of serving could be described as distracting or cumbersome. I find that interesting that you said she was distracted with serving, especially coming right after the Good Samaritan, the story about serving those in need and no matter what. It's a strange comment to state that she was distracted with serving, distracted with preparing for Jesus, as though there was something more important to do. Then Martha notices Mary and Jesus sitting there and places herself beside them very, I think, indignantly. Am I supposed to do all the work myself? She insists Mary help her, and she is supposed to, as she should be doing. This is where the conflict hits the height, and what will Jesus say? How will he respond to someone asking for help? It's not a wild request. Simply, I am preparing everything. I am busy. Can she help me? Tell her to help me. It wasn't even that. It was tell her to help me. But Jesus' response counters Martha's hurried and cumbered mood. Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the better part, and it won't be taken from her. Martha, Martha. When I hear that phrase, I hear it in sort of a, I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed kind of tone. Almost pitying Martha for being so busy and so involved, so engaged with something else. It notes how Martha is upset and distracted by many things. Again, these many things are never specified. And especially with Jesus' words, he never specifies the many things. Unlike the other passages where it says what Martha was busy with, Jesus does actually simply say, you're distracted with many things. That's what the Greek says. Jesus did not make reference to Martha's serving, her attendance to the guests, or anything like that. Simply that she is concerned about many things and that she is upset. Concerned, what we can infer, for many physical things. And Mary has chosen the better part. One thing is necessary, and it won't be taken from her. So Jesus turns it around and states that there is only one thing necessary, one thing that is needed. Here, Jesus notes from this physical material and moves into talking about the spiritual world. And it is Mary who has chosen the better portion. And Jesus states that it will not be taken from her. One might think that Jesus would say, we can continue this later. Go help Martha for a while. Or admonish Mary for being someone who is ignoring the needs of others. But he doesn't. He states, no, this is where she's supposed to be. Despite Martha's pleas for help, Jesus instead seems to dismiss Martha's concern about the many things. He instead reinforces the good portion of abiding in him and sitting down and listening. What many things are keeping us busy? What many things keep us away from spending time with God, from spending time with Jesus? I find it interesting that this is where the story ends, too. Again, it's always interesting what Scripture doesn't tell us. We don't have Martha's response. We don't have Mary's response. We simply have Jesus saying, Martha, Mary has chosen the better, and it won't be taken from her. And that's it. Does Martha then choose to sit down and unload her many things upon Jesus? Does Mary interrupt and say, "It's okay, I can go help"? We don't know. So what would our response be to that kind of admonishment? Would it be something where we get indignant again, saying, "What are you talking about, Jesus? These many things are necessary. You are just talking and sitting." Would we understand what Jesus is trying to tell us and sit down and listen as well? As we continue on in our lives, as we get busy with the many things that we have to do, let us always remember to take those moments to sit down and be with God, no matter what it may be, whether it's a prayer, whether it's meditation, reading scripture. We can get busy with so many things. Even when we aren't doing something, our minds are constantly moving and thinking of all the things that need to be done, should be done, and could be done. Instead, take a moment to relax and enjoy what God has given us, and that God's relationship with us, that He wants to be in our lives and be with us. Then we pray, Amen. Dear Lord, we ask that you use these gifts to further your kingdom. We use these gifts for the many things that we are supposed to do, the many things that we should be doing. But always help us to continue to remember that these gifts also help us to be with you, to ultimately hear your word. and we thank you and praise you in your name. Amen. Now let us lift up all those who are on our prayer list. Lift up all those who need prayers right now, who are suffering in some way, or have family or friends who are suffering. We lift up all those who need us right now, who are calling for us to be your church. Lord, we thank you that we have this opportunity to serve you, to praise you, and to be with you. Lord, I ask for your spirit of comfort, of peace, of joy, of mercy, and of grace to be with on all of us, to be on all of us now as we continue our lives. Some days we might be hurried, some days we might have rest. I pray that no matter where we are, what we are dealing with, you are there with us. I pray for all the wars in the world. Pray that they would cease, that your peace, as you are the peacemaker, would end them. I pray for all those who are in need, who are suffering, that you would bring your spirit of peace upon them, bring your spirit of comfort, that whatever they be suffering from, you would help relieve them. We thank you and pray this in your most precious and most holy name. And we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now go out into this world. Remember, as you keep busy, as things come up, as you worry about many things, to take those moments to be with God, to slow down and remember why we are doing what we are doing. Now go out into the world, and may the peace of Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the love of God be with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for joining us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. For more information about us, our phone number is 920-922-0425. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street and have in-person worship on Sundays at 9 a.m. Staff nursery is available for 3 years and under.